Right, the reading today is from John chapter 1, verses 19 to 28, and you'll find it on page 1063 in your Bibles. Now, this was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Christ." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally, they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah, the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the desert. Make straight the way for the Lord." Now, some Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied, "for among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany on the other side of Jordan, where John was baptizing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much. Our daughter Petra must have been about 11, 12 when she came up to one day and said, "Dad, I need some money, please. And you put a hand in my pocket." I said, "My darling, that's the wrong pocket. I always keep my money in the left-hand pocket unless there's a hole in my pocket." And of course, it was the wrong place. "You're looking in the wrong place," I said. In effect, that's what John the Baptist said to the Jewish leaders when they came to him. It was about 30 years after the birth of Jesus. John the Baptist had been preaching in the Valley of Jordan, baptizing for about a year. The crowds kept coming. They grew bigger and bigger. And so a deputation of priests and theologians came along. And for them, the most puzzling thing was not that he preached, but he was baptizing. Baptism was for Gentile proselytes, not for Jews. Only Messiah could baptize, as far as they were concerned theologically. The deputation comes along and it says, you know, and they want to ask him questions. And they start questioning him. And John's answer is, "You're looking in the wrong place. You're asking the wrong questions." Notice the difference between John the Baptist and Jesus. The minute they approach Jesus, so John the Baptist rather, John points away from himself. "Don't look at me," he says. "Listen to my words, but don't look at me. My message focuses on someone else." In contrast, Jesus, "I am the way, come to me," all the time focusing on himself. There is a place for drawing attention to ourselves, but only in as much as it helps us to encourage other people to see the glory of God, the grace of our Savior. Testimony should always be what God is doing for me, what God has done for me. Psalm 66, the psalmist says, "Come and listen, all who fear God. Let me tell you what God has done for me." It's like you and me saying, sing the praise of the doctor. "Look at me." But it's the doctor who put me right. Or, "Look at me. I went to Slimming World." You say, "Look at me," but actually you're pointing away from yourself. A Christian is a person with a testimony. But the testimony is about Jesus. This is a testimony of John, we read in verse 19. The testimony of his life provided him an opportunity for the testimony of his lips. In many ways, the testimony of his life was a little bit strange and yet respected. The testimony of his lips was very clear: Jesus, the Lamb of God. The testimony of our life is very important, but in itself, the testimony of our life is incomplete. If you're a nice person, if by God's grace you're kind and gracious, and God gives you the grace and strength and wisdom and ability to be nice, people say, oh, what a nice person. They're praising you. But actually, are you focused and saying, but actually, praise God. I came across this man who was a brigand, a villain. But now he was a wonderful man. He talked about himself, but then said, Jesus made me. Jesus transformed me. John the Baptist. Look at Jesus. A Christian is a person with a testimony, but a testimony about Jesus. We read the name Jesus or Christ 1,080 times in the New Testament. We read the name God or Lord 1,091 times in the Bible. So yes. What message is there for us? It's no good pointing people to God, talking about God. Many people talk about God. They use the word God, and the word God means a different thing to different people. We talk about Jesus. Our testimony is not about God, but about Jesus. And the God we believe in, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You could go to the streets, you could go up and down the country throughout the world and find lots of people believing in God. And you say, who is this God? Somebody once said to me, well, you know, the Muslims believe in a God and, you know, this is the same God, the one God. I said, just a minute. You tell me, describe me the God you believe in, and I'll tell you if we're talking about the same person. Fortunately, my name is Tsipras. There aren't many of those around. If you say, I know John Tsipras, oh, yeah, yeah, there's not many of us around. If you say, I'm John Smith, which John Smith? Describe him. Remember how we began the Gospel of John. Not a historian or a novelist, not in the business of making money. He said, I want you to focus to understand who Jesus is, because in doing so, you will have life. This is a testimony of John. Who are you? Tell us about yourself. He points to Jesus. Has anybody asked you about yourself, what you do, what you like, your hobbies, your interests? Now, we should talk about them. But in the process, do you ever find you have an opportunity or a responsibility to also talk about Jesus? A young man went for an interview for a job recently, and they asked him questions. And he seized the opportunity to tell them, but he said, I'm a Christian, I go to a Christian church. And as a result, I went, you know, had a year out. Mingled in his answer, he felt, I want to identify that I'm a Christian. And if they think I've managed to cope with difficulties and pressures in my life, it's because I believe in God. They asked him a question, have you ever experienced difficult situations and how have you coped with them? He said, yes, I have. He mingled in. He wanted them to identify with the Lord. I'd just been married and we're going on our honeymoon. And we go to this hotel. We're going to stay overnight. We're on our way to Scotland. And I had to sign the register. And I signed John Tsipras, and Mark's by my side. The man says, and who is this lady? Oh, I said, she's my wife. I hadn't yet cottoned on. I was no longer a single man. She was my wife. So when I signed, I was supposed to sign for her as well. Is God such an integral part of our life that he just comes naturally to the conversation? No, not a forced conversation, not a forced thing. But just naturally. Monday morning, what did you do at the weekend? Yes. I remember going to work when I had a proper job before I became a vicar. And Monday morning, what do you do at the weekend? You see people talking. I went to church. Oh. So they said to me, oh, you know, they started teasing me and saying, you know, what's the text for the day? I thought, I'll teach you the text. I'll tell you what the text for today. Be sure your sins will find you out. I mean, they took it, you know, because we knew now we could have banter, but I thought, yes, I will talk about. There are people who are impressed with you. Let's make sure we point to Jesus. not just talk about ourselves. The psalmist, come and listen, all who fear God, I will tell you what God has done. Look, he says, in my former book, O Theophilus, I wrote about that, all that Jesus began to do and to teach. And now in the Acts of Paul, he wants to carry on. God is still acting. Jesus is still working by the power of the Holy Spirit. So, what do you say about yourself? He points to Jesus. It's interesting. John doesn't undervalue himself or overstate himself. It's only by comparison with Jesus. He says, I'm a nobody. Jesus said about John the Baptist, I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there is not one risen greater than John the Baptist. John didn't undervalue himself. Don't just pretend you're a nobody. God has given you gifts. Be proud of them in a humble way, if I can put it that way. But don't overvalue yourself. If we undervalue ourselves, we are dishonoring God. If we overstate ourselves, we're insulting God. John, you're looking in the wrong place. Look behind me. And a challenge for us. Sometimes, you know, you might look at Christians. And people look at Christians with their weaknesses, limitations, and humanness, and not too impressed. If ever you've been like that, I came across this young man. He was no longer impressed. He stopped going to church because of the weaknesses of the, you know, he saw weakness in Christians. Said, well, actually, isn't that encouraging for you? If God accepts them with all their weaknesses, don't you think you should be grateful because he'll accept you in spite of all your weaknesses? And sometimes you look at yourself and say, oh, Lord, I'm useless. I remember going to a conference, and this Christian conference, this man had a placard around his neck. A work in progress at the front and at the back. Be patient with me. God is still working in my life. When you look at yourself, you might be imperfect, but God is working in your life. And let God get the glory for that. This is a testimony of John. Who are you? Tell us about yourself. Well, we carry on. The psalmist, come listen to me, all who fear the Lord. In Romans, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. I'm the messenger, he said. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Sometimes, you know, we can be a bit of ashamed of the gospel of our Christian faith. Have you noticed the difference between perfume bottles and medicine bottles? Perfume bottles are made attractive to attract you, to persuade you to buy them. Medicine bottles don't need to be attractive because there is something there that you need. We have a message. Don't wrap it up in fancy things. Let's make sure people can see. Fancy bottles is for perfume, not for medicine. John says, look past me, look beyond me. Don't focus on yourself. Has God called you for a particular work? And as you're facing a new year, whether in business or whatever you are, in church, in Christian ministry, whatever it is, God has called you to Christian ministry, and maybe you say, but I can't, look at me. I'm not very good. I'm shy, I'm frightened, I'm not eloquent. I can't do it. Don't look at yourself. If God has called you, take it. God is with you. He will lead you. He will guide you. But if you look at yourself, very often you'll find, I'm not able to do it. David is a good example. In 2 Samuel, then King David went in and sat before the Lord and said, who am I, O sovereign Lord? What is my family that you have brought me this far? He said, Lord, I can't do this job. Who am I? But he goes on then. He looks away from himself, his limitations, his family issues. O sovereign Lord, you are God. Your words are trustworthy. You have promised these good things to your servant. Now be pleased to bless the house of your servant. Jeremiah. O sovereign Lord, he says, I do not know how to speak. I'm only a child. God's response was, you're looking in the wrong place. You're looking at yourself. I'm the one that matters. I'm the one who makes the mouth. Moses, oh Lord, I've never been eloquent, neither now or in the past. God responds saying, you're looking in the wrong direction. You're looking in the wrong place. Amos, the king was Amaziah. And the king's chamberlain came with a message. Says, Amos is here to see you. Amos? Who is Amos? Amos comes along and says, I was neither a prophet nor a prophet's son. I was a shepherd. I took care of the sheep and the sycamore tree. But the Lord took me from tending the flock and said to me, go, prophesy. A new year. God is calling you for a ministry. Maybe you're already in that ministry. Sometimes you'll be disappointed. Sometimes you'll feel, I can't do it. Sometimes you'll feel, Lord, what am I doing? I'm not doing a good job. I'm not capable. Yet, don't look at yourself. Look at God. And as Christians, we have a testimony. We have a Savior. I have to confess, when I was in Peter's for a number of years, I would frequently see our granddaughter. She came to stay with us. And after about a couple of years, I took our granddaughter to a social evening they had. And people would say, oh, I know you all about you, Caris. Oh, I know all about you, Caris. And they encouraged to me, how do they know me? I said, well, unfortunately, I've been talking about you to everybody. In the sermons, illustrations, I would talk about you. And they know about you. Why? Well, because I'm proud of her. My friends, we should be proud of our God, proud of our Savior. Let's make sure by God's grace, we point people this year to Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, our God. Let's pray. Loving Father, what can we say? It seems incredible you should love us in the way you do. We thank you for this. Give us grace this year, Lord, that we might be honoring to you and bring joy to your heart as we boast about a wonderful Savior. You know our limitations, Father. Give us grace. Give us boldness. We want to honor you. We thank you. We praise you. We pray this in our Savior's name. Amen.